You're listening to the Boogeyman's Closet podcast. Explicit language and spoilers ahead. You've been warned.
And we are back for yet another episode of the Boogeyman's Closet. As always, I am Mike Alvarez.
Maurice Killifer.
Susie Hunt.
And we have our recurring character with us for the third time this month.
Welcome to the month of whodunits.
I love it.
Exactly.
Sorry, well, guys. I'm here again.
No but need to apologize.
This one is on purpose.
Yes. We knew you were going to be part of this one. We weren't going to do it without you. So this is episode 111. We're continuing our whodunit month with Club Dread from 2004. It's an hour and 44 minutes, directed by Jay Chandrasekhar. We would know him from pretty much all of the Broken Lizard stuff, so the Super Troopers movies, Beer Fest, et cetera, et cetera. But also the Dukes of Hazzard, the Goldbergs, Community, Chuck, Psych, and the New Girl. Did a lot of TV stuff. But let's go around the table and see what everyone thinks about this flick. Dawn, you know the drill. Let's start with you.
I know the drill. As customary, we start with Dawn. First of all, I want to say this, guys. Just give little people, or little people? No. give the people a little update is what I meant to say. The reason why this episode's delayed, it's my fault, guys. It's my fault. I actually told them to go ahead and record this, and Mike was like, no.
I refuse.
No. Which is so funny, because I had actually asked you to do this one later in the month because of all the situation that was going on in my life right now. So that I wasn't sure if it was one of the early ones I would be able to record. So I found it really funny that when I'm like, guys, I can't make the one that I really, really wanted. And I found that really funny, and so that's, I told you guys just to do it, but no, that's nope. Okay. That's okay. So now let me tell you what I like about this movie. It's awesome. I love this movie. I have always loved this movie. I have to say this is probably my favorite Broken Lizards movie. I know everyone says Super Troopers, but this one's probably my favorite. Actually, Super Troopers is not even the next one. Beer Fest is the next one I like. Sorry, people. I like Beer Fest more than Super Troopers. Let's see what, you know, I have no notes in front of me, guys. Sorry. I'm trying to do this out of my mind. Come on. It's Bill Paxton. Come on. We can't talk bad about Bill. Like this to me, Bill Paxton's performance as Coconut Pete is equivalent to Jeff Bridges as the dude.
Yeah.
This is his dude. Like, this is what it is. This is his dude moment. And I love that, like, obviously this is not a movie that's supposed to be taken seriously. They know this. It could have easily exchanged any one of these characters in as the murderer. You know, like, anybody could have just, like, even if they, like, decided to rewrite the script, it's that person now. Yeah. It's that person now. And because of this movie, I am going to say this, because of this movie, whenever I see a certain name pop up anywhere, I always call it Penelope.
Yep.
I always go, hey, look, it's Penelope. And I could quote Juan like all day long because of this movie, too.
He's such a great character. Yeah. Well, Susie, we'll toss it over to you. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to be the wet blanket on this episode, guys.
Uh-oh.
This is one of those movies I didn't really care for when I first saw it. It is just stupid humor. So I thought, you know, a different month, but I'll give it a second chance. Mm-hmm. No, I don't hate it. Probably not going to watch it again. I do agree about Bill Paxton, though. Coconut Pete is just friggin' hilarious. Like, Bill Paxton was really the only super redeeming quality for me for this movie. I prefer Beer Fest and Super Troopers to this. I'm not a huge fan.
Okay, fair enough. Maurice, what about you?
Well, I guess you're not such a wet blanket.
Oh!
I feel the same. I like it. I don't love it. I could take it or leave it. And yes, I prefer Beer Fest and Super Troopers over this one. I mean, agreeing with everyone, Bill Paxton's performance was amazing. Mm-hmm. But I just, I didn't really, I mean, I didn't not like it, like I said, but when it first came out, I was like, oh, it's okay. I've watched it a couple of times since. Yeah. And yeah, this is my first time watching it in a few years. And my opinion's still the same. It's okay. There's nothing to write home about.
Okay. What about the those great Coconut Pete ballads?
Oh, well, that made me want to get the soundtrack, but that's about it.
Bongo and Toki.
Copa Cabana or Pina Coladasburg.
Pina Coladasburg. It was a sea shanties and wet panties.
That's a mouthful right there. Pina I can't even say it.
Shane even said, he goes, is this a step up from Joe Dirt for her? Because I don't know.
Ouch.
I read that they showed this to Jimmy Buffett and he started performing the songs in concert.
Yes.
Yeah.
I read that as well. Yeah. No, I see. I kind of agree with Don. I don't know that this is my favorite Broken Lizard movie. I think Super Troopers still probably holds that top spot, but this one's really close for me. And don't get me wrong, Beer Fest was friggin' hilarious as well, but I've only seen that once. I do need to revisit it. And I still haven't seen Super Troopers 2. But I remember seeing this in the theater. It's funny because for the longest time, I associated this movie with food poisoning because Jess and I had gone to Red Lobster, and this is the last time I went to Red Lobster. I started feeling ill. I had gotten coconut shrimp and I forget what else, but I know the shrimp is what I haven't eaten coconut shrimp since.
That's fine. That's
you know, right? You know, when you saw Slither, you got food poisoning.
I know.
When you saw this, you got food poisoning.
Mm-hmm. I feel like your favorite movies are making me ill.
Damn it.
But no, at least it was mild food poisoning. Like I basically was sick for a few hours. I didn't, you know, actually vomit, thankfully, but I felt nauseous for a couple of hours. And I've never eaten at Red Lobster since. But later that night, you know, Jess was like, well, do you still want to go see a movie? You know, because we were originally planning on doing that. And I forgot what we were planning on seeing, but we missed it. And I was looking at the show times and I'm like, well, Club Dread's starting in like 15 minutes. You want to go to that? So we went, we were only like, there was two or three other people in the theater. We were only a couple people in. And I laughed my ass off. Like, I thought it was freaking hilarious. But then I never watched it again for years. Like, I finally bought the DVD because I bought a 2-pack of this and Super Troopers. And I watched it when I first bought it, laughed again, and just kind of forgot about it. Since we covered it for the show, I've watched it 3 times. So I really like this movie. I like that it is a traditional slasher film. It plays with all the tropes of a traditional slasher while still making fun of it. Like it's a perfect spoof on the slasher genre while still kind of loving the genre. So I really liked it. Then again, I've said before, horror comedies are my favorite type of movie. So this was a little treat to get on the show. But so it's kind of two lukewarm and two that really like it, I guess, for this.
And month. I mean, someone gave me the DVD of this,
mm-hmm.
and I was living on Lexington with Sam and it was Sam and Terry at that point. Lori moved, mm-hmm. and someone broke into our apartment, stole my DVD player out of my bedroom. And of all the friggin' movies, think of all the movies that Sam and I both have.
Right.
They stole Club Dread.
They have awesome taste.
They really wanted to see this.
That's like robbing a bank and picking up the sack that had all the fake money.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, this is, I can definitely see why people wouldn't like this, though. Especially if you are like a big horror fan watching this, because it is more comedy than it is horror. So it's, I don't know, I would recommend it if you like silly horror movies or if you just like dumb slapstick kind of comedies.
And stupid killer reveals. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. I love when he explains why, but we'll get into that. So this
I really moment. Wish they would have just kept it with the first one and not gone, oh, wait, no, it was this.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, man. But his delivery of that was hilarious. So go through the cast real quick. We have Lars played by Kevin Heffernan. Obviously, all the Broken Lizard movies, but Sky High, Dukes of Hazzard, and Agent Carter. Burke played by Michael Yarchik. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But also, most of these guys are Broken Lizard people, so we'll just say the Broken Lizard movies. He was also in Mom and Dad, did voice work for Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories, Saints Row 2 through 4, Grand Theft Auto 5, and World of Warcraft. Then we have Penelope, or Penelope, played by Jordan Ladd. 6 Feet Under, Cabin Fever, Death Proof, Hostel 2, and Satanic Panic. So we probably will be seeing her again, as most of those I want to cover. We have Jenny, played by Brittany Daniel, The Basketball Diaries, Joe Dirt, That 70s Show, The Hamiltons, The Game, and Black-ish. Juan, played by Steve Lemmy, again, Broken Lizard Gang, and Open Water and Dukes of Hazzard. Putman, played by Jay Chandraskar, NYPD Blue, The Broken Lizard Stuff, Dukes of Hazzard, Jackass 2, and Psych. He actually has one of the funniest skits in Jackass 2. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen that, but oh my God, it's freaking hilarious.
Not in a really, really long time.
He's the cab driver who puts it in the trunk. Yeah.
Oh, I love that skit. But we have Dave, played by Paul Soder. Again, Broken Lizard, Dukes of Hazzard, and Freeloaders. Sam, played by Eric Stolskin. I can never say this. Stolhinsky. Super Troopers 1 and 2, all the Broken Lizard stuff. Dukes of Hazzard, 6 Feet Under, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. You, played by Lindsay Price. Angus, Beverly Hills, 90210. CSI, The Dead Zone, NCIS, Hawaii 50, Castle, and Black-ish. Carlos, played by Julio Becker. Dirt, Sea of Dreams, and Almost 30. Coconut Pete, played by Bill Paxton, as we had expressed earlier. This guy is in everything.
Rest in peace. Gone too soon.
Such a great actor. One of the only guys to be killed by a Terminator, an Alien, and a Predator. Because he was in the Terminator, Aliens, and Predator 2. He was in Stripes, Commando, Near Dark, great vampire flick that we will get on here one day. Twister, True Lies, Frailty, another great horror movie I would love to get on here.
Love it.
Oh, it's so good. Big Love, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Tales from the Crypt, People Who Live in Brass Hearses. Which, his character is friggin' disgusting in that, because he's addicted to eating sticks of butter, and it's really gross.
Paula Deen!
Exactly. Then we have Hank, played by MC Gainey, The A-Team, Starman, Something Is Out There, The Mighty Ducks, The Haunting, Terminator 3, Sideways, Lost, and The Walking Dead. So, there's a lot more people than just that, but, you know, there are a lot of bit players, so left them out of the list.
Yeah, they don't matter anyway.
Yeah, they're all going to die.
Sam Levine matters.
Yeah, he gets killed.
There's an Oscar winner in here, too, but he wasn't one when he was on here. So,
but the basic plot for anyone who hasn't seen this is a serial killer interrupts a fun and swanky getaway at Coconut Pete's Island Resort. What was it called? Paradise Island?
Yes.
Yeah. His island resort, Paradise Island. And it's up to the club staff to stop the violence or at least hide it. So
sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, let's pretend it's not happening and just do our jobs. But we open with a slow pan over Pleasure Island, and we see that it's in Costa Rica. And then we cut to two resort employees heading out into the jungle to get high and fool around. This scene cracks me up every friggin' time, where he just goes to light the joint and he's like, "Why don't you lick my chest while I spark this up?" Like, who says that?
Stupid people.
People in 80s horror movies did.
I don't know about chest licking, but all right.
Then that's what it was spoofing.
I've seen a lot of 80s horror movies, damn it. I've never seen that.
Yeah, nor have I.
But the girl, Stacy, hears some branches snapping, and she looks over and sees someone walking amongst the trees. So she gets kind of spooked, and the guy, Rollo, tells her that he knows a more private place that's way more romantic. So he takes her deeper in the jungle to a fucking graveyard. That's so romantic.
It is more private.
And depending on who you are, it is more romantic.
So she suggests that maybe they shouldn't be doing it in a graveyard. Rollo just doesn't care. He boots a gravestone over. He's like, what do you guys think? And he's like, I think you should give it to her, senor. It's like, Jesus Christ. But suddenly they see the dude again in the distance. Rollo gets pissed, grabs a stick, and says, this guy is going to be picking his teeth out of my dump. What?
Yep.
He's the king of one-liners. Come on.
I mean, that hurt my brain.
Just that?
Well, I mean, we're not even 2 minutes into the movie, and that hurt my brain. So, oh, there's more, but man, that was quick.
We get dem titties real quick, too. Real quick? I can't talk today, apparently.
Wheel Wheaton. So, Rollo and Stacy go running off after the peeper. They find out that it wasn't a guy after all, it was a statue. Rollo knocks the head off, and we get a monkey jump scare.
There aren't enough monkey jump scares in horror movies, if you ask me.
Right? It's usually a cat. I was like, hey, way to flip the script.
To be honest, there should have been at least a couple more in this movie.
Yeah, there's only like one other, you know. But I love it because the monkey jumps him. He's like, watch the hair, asshole. And quickly, we get that jump scare quickly followed by another jump scare as Kelly, the third in their little play session, jumps out and scares him. She brings him drinks and asks, where are we going to do this? And Stacy suggests the old mausoleum, because why not? So they go in there and they find all sorts of like weird headdresses and statues, including one that's, I'm assuming, some kind of fertility statue because it's got a big stone dick.
Yeah, and then they're like, we don't need you anymore.
And he looks all sad. He's like, quit it. Like, he looked all embarrassed.
He should be embarrassed.
Then suddenly the door slams shut and they're in complete darkness. Kelly opens up the door again. She's like, oh, probably just the wind. And immediately they begin stripping, so we get them titties. And then Rollo asks, heads or tails? Stacy says heads and begins blowing him. And Kelly goes, what's tails? And he goes, ah, you don't want to know. I was like, no rusty trombone for you. So Kelly starts licking his ear and hears something behind him. Rollo goes, he goes, what, too waxy? Jesus Christ.
Also, his name is Rollo. His mother must really hate him. Named him right after a fucking candy.
And then he asks her, what do you think about smacking me in the face a little? She goes, not hard. Well, okay, kind of hard. And then she looks at the masks on the wall behind him, and we see one of them in the shadow start moving. Suddenly she backs up saying no, and he's like, oh, come on, Kelly. It's not like I'm asking you to eat my crap. Like, Jesus Christ, this guy sucks.
Yeah, this guy definitely deserves to die.
Yeah, yeah. So he turns and gets the machete like to the neck. He's dead. Blood splatters on Stacy and Kelly, and they take off running through the jungle screaming. So, of course, they split up because it's a slasher movie. And Kelly ends up almost running off the edge of a cliff, stumbles and grasps at branches trying to catch her balance. She ends up reaching back and grabbing the blade of the killer's machete. Which,
oh, my hand hurt when I
yes
saw that.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I know this is a comedy, but I recoiled hard at that.
Yeah, I could feel that cut.
Yep. Anytime I see that in a horror movie where someone slides their hand down a blade, I'm like, ah, God, no. Freaks me out.
It's up there with the nails on the floor when you get dragged.
Oh, yeah. Where
you can feel that, too.
Ugh. Yep. There's just certain attacks in horror movies that really F with you. But so she slides her fingers down the machete and falls to her death. Now we see Stacy running back towards the resort. She gets to the edge of the jungle and the killer pops up behind her, swings his machete, and we get this great POV decapitation shot where the camera spins around and hits the ground. Then the headless body falls in front of the camera and starts twitching. The
title card. Jello jigglers.
Yeah. she's really jiggling around there. The title card comes flying out of out of her at the screen. I really like that decapitation sequence. And then it says on the screen 1 hour earlier, and we cut to the cruise ship full of guests arriving at Pleasure Island. Now we follow Lars as he gets to the island, and we get freeze frame shots of who's who. So we meet Jenny, who's the aerobics instructor, Juan, who's water sports, Putman, tennis, Dave, DJ, and drugs, which cracked me up, and then Sam, the fun police. And we see Rolo is with the group. Sam asks him for his bag of grass that he loaned him, and Rolo goes, "Oh, sorry, buddy, I don't have it on me, but let me know when you score some more," and he walks away laughing. And we get this close-up on Sam with ominous music, like he looks like he wants to kill him. This entire sequence cracks me up because of how they kind of make you think it could be anybody. Mm-hmm. So we then see Kelly grabbing some drinks and going over to Dave and asking him for some ecstasy to put in the drinks. He goes on and he goes to put them in there, and she tells him to put it on her tab. He says, "Hey, at least give me one of the margaritas." And she goes, "Sorry, they're spoken for," and laughs at him and leaves. Ominous music plays while Dave mouths, "Fucking bitch."
Don't worry, Dave. She gets hers.
Oh, pretty quick, too.
That's where they quickly introduced you as well.
Yes. Yeah, she was the one telling Kelly to grab the drinks. Or no, she was giving her a different tray, and then Kelly grabbed the drinks.
Yeah.
But we see Stacy and Putman. She's trying to get him to join them. And he tells her that he has to play tennis soon. And that stretch of the jungle gives him an extraordinary case of the wonky britches.
I hate when I get that.
Yeah, me too. Rolo comes up to him and says, "Sweet Jesus, you're an F-cake, Putman." F-cake. Again, there's so many phrases in this movie that had me crying. I'm like, what the fuck is an F-cake? I love it.
A fuck cake.
Right. But it's just F-cake. Sounds funny.
Well, it could be a fart cake. That's a whole trend on YouTube, I think.
Really?
Is that some Rule 34 action right
there? I think that is, actually. People sit in cakes and then fart at them. That's it.
Oh.
Man, people are fucking weird. But
not that I've watched them. I just want to say that.
I was just going to gloss past that because I'm like, hey, no judgment, man.
I don't personally watch them.
I ain't going to kink shame.
It's something I heard about. I don't watch the ones with cakes. I watch the ones where they sit in pudding.
Oh. So it bubbles like the bog of eternal stench.
Exactly.
Gotcha. But
Lord love a duck.
So Rolo grabs Stacy and walks away mocking Putman, who watches them while giving him the evil eye, and ominous music plays once more. So we get motives all around. So then we get Coconut Pete. Coconut Pete is announced on the loudspeaker and comes out and plays a little ditty for the crowd. He introduces the staff and welcomes them to Pleasure Island. And we get the standard early 2000s horror movie plot point of cell phones don't work here. He's like, you know, you wanted to escape civilization and we're going to hold you to it. Your phones don't work. There's no fax machines, no way to call back to the mainland. So they're there to escape modern civilization.
I think that's the movie by saying fax machine, though.
I know, right? Yeah. But in the background, we see the cruise ship leaving. So we have fully established they are trapped on this island. We cut to a woman wandering around the grounds being watched by someone in the jungle. This is Penelope, or Penelope, but we will call her Penelope for the rest of the movie. Which, did you guys read in the trivia, like, how, where that name came from?
Yes. It's Penelope Ann Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were at a movie, and, like, when her name came up on the screen, like, the dude in front of him was like, "Penelope? What the hell kind of name is Penelope?" So they put it in the film. It's like, that's fantastic. But she's kind of walking around in the jungle near the jungle by herself. And then she looks around, she turns, and suddenly there's a fake gorilla right in front of her. So we get a gorilla jump scare. She karate chops its head off, and we see Jenny standing behind it. She apologizes for scaring her and explains that it's just Welky, the welcome gorilla. Two idiots were trying to hump it, so she decided to stash him in the jungle. Because, you know, why wouldn't you try to hump a fake gorilla?
I'm almost sure I know which two idiots, too, were the ones who were humping it, too.
The two that almost humped each other.
Yes.
Don't be gay, man. Don't be gay.
Oh, that scene is fucking hilarious.
The one who's an Oscar winner and the other guy.
But they introduce themselves to each other, and Penelope tells Jenny she's a bit lost and asks if she can help her find her way. So Jenny tells her that she looks familiar and asks, have you ever been here before? And she looks a little shifty and tells her no. Now, like, this is a plot thread that went nowhere.
Yep.
You know, like, people were recognizing Penelope, but, you know, she never had been there before. So Jenny asks where she's from, and she says, Nome, Alaska. And Jenny goes, oh, you must have one of those faces, and then tells her how to get to the resort. So, again, it's just one of the many red herrings. But we cut to the pool where we see the two losers that you're talking about commentating on every girl they see. And in the background, we see Stacy run up to the edge of the jungle covered in blood, and we see the killer decapitate her. So no one notices a thing. I love this, though, because they're just pointing at every girl like, check out the one in the yellow. He's like, you want to get railed by me? Yeah, you want to get railed by me? He just kept talking. But the douchebags get excited about Jenny and mention that she's on TV on Amy's Aerobics. And they're like, oh, yeah, the girl at the back. And he's like, no, man, she got moved up. And then apparently, like, Amy died, so Jenny took over. And they're like, oh, she's the new Amy Aerobic. And they high five and then end up hugging. The dude, he like pulls him and he goes, what's up? And then he's like, dude, don't be gay. Don't be gay.
Crickets.
You can't get away with that joke now. That's the thing. You can't get away with that joke now.
Right.
Yeah, no, you really can't. But we see Lars walk up to Jenny and you and introduces himself. We find out that he's the new masseur, and Jenny tells him that he better be good because the woman he's replacing, Inga, had some sweet moves. And so she and you turn around telling him to show them what he's got. He rubs their shoulders and they both seem to have an orgasm.
Yep. Because why not?
Right. Because Lars has magic hands. And, which, well, we find out several times throughout this movie, Lars has magic hands.
Yes.
Jenny tells him
they are literal lethal weapons.
Yes, they are. But she tells him to come to the party later tonight and talk to her, and she'll show him the ropes. So we pan like past like the whole crowd, and we see, I love this because in the foreground, you see the two douchebags pantomiming, jerking off and coming everywhere. And it's just like there, it's this ominous music playing as we zoom in on Stacy's dead corpse in the bushes. But these guys are just like, like making jerk off motions.
Yep.
Oh, I love it. It's funny.
Their moms must be so proud.
So later that night at the party, Lars is manning the booze luge and coconut.
And they have a tequila cannon.
Yes. I love that. The one dude gets squirted in the eyes and he's like, oh, God, that was tequila. Oh, man.
I think I'm already having more fun, like, talking about the movie than I did watching it. Just because of how amused you are by everything.
I thought it was funny. Oh, man. But Coconut Pete and Hank come over to him, and Lars fanboys all over the place. He tells him that he should be wearing the, something sweater. And it's like this balled up
pleasure sweater.
Oh, pleasure sweater. That's what it was. And Lars is like, yeah, well, it's kind of warm, and it was wadded up on the floor all sticky. And Pete's like, just put on the damn sweater.
And walks away.
Yep. And then Hank forces it over his head. And he's like, thanks, Hank. And then Juan comes up to Pete and tells him he has a present for him. He points out a woman on the dance floor, telling him that she was at one of his shows in Tucson, 14th row, back in 99. So he wanders over to her and pretends that he remembers her. She's immediately smitten, and he offers to give her the grand tour of his pants. So he goes to get laid. We see Putman trying to talk up Jenny at the bar and is interrupted by Dirk the Dick. And
That's what I named him.
I mean, how can you not? He's such a dick. Puppet tries to get Dirk cut off, saying he's had enough, but Dirk yells to Sam, the fun police, who shoots him in the face with the tequila gun. He's like, gracias, senor, and walks away. Then we see Penelope dancing by herself, so Sam comes running over with a belt and grabs her, telling her you can't be dancing alone, and pushes her up against Juan and belts them together. And he's like, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Funzy. And then he's like, you owe me one, bro. So Juan and Penelope dance, and he asks her, may I kiss the bride? She looks a little taken aback and goes, do you work here? And he explains, you know, that he does, that he's the dive master. And he looks down at her name tag on her boob and cups her tit and goes,
it was Penelope. What a beautiful name.
He's like, breathtaking. And then he goes, so tell me what brings you to us here, Penelope. And she goes, oh, I'm on spring break. I go to Oral Roberts. And he goes, Oral Roberts, is that anything like an Anal Johnson?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I remember what the line was. Or is it like a Dirty Sanchez?
And he goes, ah, yes, that's the one. And then she tells him that she doesn't know what that is. And he goes, eh, that's not for you. Oh, my God. So she looks away for a moment and is shocked to see two people fucking in a tank of water behind the bar.
The hot tub.
Yeah, but it's like one of the glass bottom or glass sides, so you can see in it. Juan is unfazed. He's like, ah, yes, this is a magical place. But we see Carlos going outside for a smoke break. Yu tells him to make it quick, that they have a lot of dishes to do, and she heads back inside. He goes to light his smoke, hears a clatter nearby, and goes to investigate. Now, he walks over to a bunch of garbage cans and finds them all tipped over, and we hear monkeys howling. So he complains about the monkeys and goes to clean up the cans. Behind him, we see a knife approaching into frame. The twig snaps, and he turns around and goes, you? Like, you know, he knows who it is, but we turn and it's you!
Literally, the character.
It made me wonder if they named her that specifically so they could do that joke.
Probably.
That's the one later.
Yeah. But she's like, Carlos, these knives are filthy. When are you going to wash them? And he goes, mañana. And she goes, oh, and walks away. So he turns around to walk away, and suddenly we hear monkeys howl again. We get another monkey jump scare as cans get knocked over. So he turns around, begins cleaning them up, and we see the poncho killer walk up into frame.
But he doesn't even fucking finish cleaning them up. He still leaves all that fucking trash on the floor.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of got interrupted.
Yeah.
Excuses. Also, why are they washing dishes by hand?
Good point.
Maybe coconut. You want him to come back to life and finish his chores?
Coconut Pete wouldn't spring for a dishwasher. But so we cut to a fire on the beach where Coconut Pete and Lars are playing one of Pete's songs for a group of employees and patrons. And then one of the girls yells out, play Margaritaville. And everyone looks nervous and Pete looks pissed.
He goes, I didn't write that.
He goes, I think you mean Pina Coladaberg. And she's like, no, Margaritaville. I love that song. He's like, I didn't write that one. I wrote Pina Coladaberg 7.5 fucking years before Margaritaville was even a thing. I love it because Hank kind of gets him. He's like, come on, let's go get a drink. And he's bitching about Jimmy Buffett. He's like, fuck that guy, that son of a bitch. Like, he kept repeating. He's like, son of a. And then he's like, mother, motherfucker. It's like,
mother,
what?
Motherfucker.
Fuck, mother, motherfuck. Mother, motherfucker.
Oh, Lord. But we cut back to Jenny having a drink, and Lars comes up behind her and rubs her shoulders, and she just splooges her drink back out. She's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yep. And then we have the line, some girls are just tighter than others.
Yep. Because he tells her, he goes, sorry. She goes, you have to warn me before you do that. He goes, sorry, it's just habit. I can see how tight you were from a mile away. And that's when she says, what can I say? Some girls are just tighter than others. And we get the massive spit take in her face, where Lars just spits out his entire drink in her face.
Yep. So was this a step up from Joe Dirt?
No. But Lars congratulates her on her Amy aerobics gig, and she thanks him, saying that it was awful that Amy accidentally ate some rat poisoning, but she's really psyched for her new gig. Mm. And she tells him that she'll be happy to never have to do this again, and Yu hands her a tray of crab legs, which were crab claws, but she says crab legs, to take to the patrons. And he goes, yeah.
That's a weird dance walking away.
Yeah, she was like, crab legs, rah, rah, rah. It's like, okay, was that a thing?
What was that about? That's not flirting, is it?
I mean, maybe. But he mentions it must be tough living in paradise. And she tells him, you love it now, but just wait. So, an ominous music plays.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now we cut back to the fire at the beach. And we have Dave asking the group if they've ever heard the story of the machete maniac. They all tell him no. And he's like, oh, no, it's probably too scary for you. So they all boo him and tell him, oh, come on, tell the story. He's like, all right. So he goes on to tell him it was about 15 years ago that they had a kid named Phil Coletti working at the club. So I'm not going to tell the whole story because it's a long fucking story. But the basic gist is that this guy was pranked and tricked into having sex with a corpse in the jungle. Where everyone was like watching and laughing at him. He calmly gets up, he goes, gets a machete from the tool shed, kills all of the employees, and then cuts his own dick off and runs screaming into the night.
Where's my penis?
Well, because one of the dudes pipes up going, are you telling me there's some totally deranged dickless dude running around in the jungle out there? And Dave goes, all I know is I won't go into that stretch of the jungle alone, because if you do, you'll hear him crying, and I've heard him. Where's my penis? And then suddenly Putman jumps up with his pants down doing the tuck and yells, and that boy was me. Well, the crowd laughs and walks away, and Dave stands up with his pants falling down. He's like, you're such a fucking asshole, Putman. And he was also doing the tuck. Oh yeah.
Putman's an asshole.
Goodbye Horses need to be playing.
Yes.
But we cut to the staff wrapping up for the night, and Pete comes wandering over and asks if anyone got laid, because I know I did. And he asks if anyone has seen Rolo, Stacy, or Kelly, and they tell him that they're probably in the jungle screwing around. Like, apparently that's just a thing on the island. Run off in the jungle and fuck. I wouldn't want to fuck in the jungle. I feel like that's an invitation for bad things to happen.
You're probably right. I mean, look what happened Rolo.
Right.
I mean,
stupid name.
You could fuck on a boat.
But they didn't have a boat.
On a broken ass boat.
In the swamp. Well, you don't want to fuck on the beach, because then you get sandy vagina.
That's right.
Sandy puss.
Sandy puss, yes. But he then asks if anyone can run luau night the next night. And Dave volunteers. Pete ignores this and asks Sam to take care of it, and Dave looks pissed. Pete then says, please, people, is it too much to ask? Have sex with the guests. Some of them aren't even that bad looking.
I did laugh at that.
Well, I mean, he had some of the best lines. But we cut to the following morning, and we get a montage of various activities around the island while listening to Pina Coladaberg. So we see cliff diving, tennis, aerobics, random drinking games, massages, drinking, and more drinking. Then we cut to the live-action Pac-Man and a hedge maze. I always thought that looked fun.
Oh, that did look cool.
That did look cool.
I didn't know what they were doing.
You didn't realize it was Pac-Man?
No.
Yeah.
What kind of fucking game are they playing?
They had the Pac-Man sound effects and everything.
Hmm. Yeah, it didn't click for me. I think that I'm not woke enough for this movie.
I remember when I watched this in the theater, that when I saw that, I got really happy. I was like, oh my God!
Yeah, I was like, I want to do that. That looks so fun. But so he's like this guy in a yellow shirt running through the hedge maze where these three girls are chasing him. And then he gets to some kind of tropical drink on a stand. And they play like the power up sound, like he just ate a pack pellet, or a power pellet. And the girls take off their shirts and run around in their bikinis, and he chases after them. And then we see Putman walking through the hedge maze dressed as a giant banana. The dude's like, oh, you're fucking dead. And he runs and tackles Putman. So Dave is yelling for the...
You just needed to touch.
he's like, a simple touch would have sufficed. And then Dave starts yelling for the pretzel to join in. So he gets no response. Yells again. Still nothing. Goes to find the pretzel. He checks the nearby shed and finds Juan dressed as a pretzel fucking a girl dressed as a watermelon. Because why not?
Yep. And then another great line. He was busy eating the watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's later on.
That's later, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
But Dave closes the door and gets a dude dressed like a pear while eating a pear. Gets him to get off his break and go into the hedge maze. He's annoyed, throws his pear on the ground, and heads in. So we get a POV shot of someone picking up a pineapple costume, putting it on, and then picking up the discarded pear. Suddenly, the poncho killer shows up in the maze holding his machete and wearing a pineapple suit. The pear sees him and goes running the other way looking spooked. So he turns the corner. We see the killer there again. He turns, runs, getting lost in the hedge maze, turns around at a dead end, and suddenly the half-eaten pear hits him in the back of the head. He turns around, the killer pops out, and slashes his stomach open, killing him. So we pan up to this great bird's eye view where we see him falling over dead in front of the killer, and then we just see the other idiots running around through the hedge maze laughing.
Yeah.
Like, that was a cool shot. But we cut to Jenny walking around the resort. She looks, she hears some noises in the bushes and looks to find Lars doing his Chi Kung, which is a sword dance. And the two talk about how he's been all over studying different philosophies. And then two patrons come running up yelling, sign our asses. Lars and Jenny look at him like, okay. He goes, what do you know about Feng Chi? She goes, nothing. He pokes the girl in the back of the head and she passes out. And he goes, ah, the snoring panda. He then pokes the dude in the stomach and he pisses himself saying the leaky turtle.
Yep.
I'm sorry, that made me laugh. But Lars explains how we all have energy that flows through us and it's all connected by buttons. Jenny asks, so what other buttons can you push? And he says, Tian Tu, and pokes her in the face and she comes. It goes to heaven point. She finishes and goes, fuck me. They continue to flirt and suddenly a parasailer slams into a shack nearby.
I did laugh at that part.
See, I think you enjoyed this movie a lot more than you're letting on.
Yep.
There were funny parts, but overall, meh.
But they go running over to see, to see what the hell happened. And it's Carlos. He's seemingly unconscious, and Lars rips his shirt open to begin CPR, and we see carved in his chest, Naughty Carlos. They then look at the speedboat that was carrying him, and it's just kind of speeding off into nowhere. There's no one driving it. So cut to Juan and Dave in the Pac-Man maze, and Dave is asking Juan if he's ever played Pac-Man as a kid. And he goes, no, we had a cheap Nicaraguan version called Circle Eater, which that just made me laugh. Just then, Putman comes running up looking terrified and gets them to follow him. Like, why wasn't he talking here? He was just going,
right?
They're like, what is it, Lassie?
Is Timmy stuck in a well?
So then they're like, follow the banana. And they go running after him. And so they turn the corner and they find Sam kneeling next to the dead pair, which we find out is a guy named Cliff. And we see his chest is carved open and it says Naughty Cliff. There's also a sign on him that says staff only. So we cut to the group telling Pete about the murders. He tells them to keep it down so they don't upset the guests. Juan suggests that Machete Phil come out of the jungle to seek his revenge. And it's like it's the Dickless Machete Phil. That's just a running gag throughout the entire film. So Sam tells them that everyone else is okay, but they need to see what happened to his activities board. And they go and check to see it, and they see Kelly, Stacy, Carlos, Rolo, and Cliff are all crossed out in blood. And then on the bottom, it says, do your jobs and live, tell the guests and die, because everybody's looking to find their own paradise. So the staff comments on how they need to get everyone off the island. They run and check to find the boats have been cut loose. And the emergency phone has been smashed, and the radio has been smashed. So they're completely cut off. So very much like I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. So we cut to the group drinking and freaking out.
Putman, as good though.
What's that?
Not as good as I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh,
better.
Kidding.
I was gonna say them's are fighting words.
There was no pinolope, and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
There were also no dem titties.
That's true.
It loses. It gets a demerit just for that. But we cut to the group drinking and freaking out. Putman points out that the sign said staff only and that they're targeting staff because and you know, which causes everyone else to freak out further. Suddenly we hear a loud slurping sound and everyone looks up to see Hank, who was sitting above them finishing his drink. Pete tells him it was time to bring in a professional. And they kind of scoff at him, being like, you know, he's the head of your security tour or the head of your security guards on tour. And he's like, but he's an ex-FBI agent. He's the one who caught the Minneapolis Mangler. They're like, who? He goes, exactly. Hank tells him that the killer is playing a game and they're going to play right back. He wants them to stay cool and do their jobs, just like the message on the board said. Eventually, the killer will have to come to them and he'll be ready with his wampum stick. So we cut to the bonfire on the beach. I like this. The bonfire spells out SOS.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're doing our job, but help. Hank has a pinata party happening. And, you know, he's taking notes on people's swings. Putman comes up and asks him what the hell he's doing. And I love this because Hank is very wrong here. This is the first moment we get to realize that Hank is a bumbling fucking idiot. Because he goes, he said the pair was cut from left to right. So he goes, left to right, I'm looking for the left-handed killer. Except we saw the killer holding the machete several times and it was in his right hand. So, Hank's a moron.
He's just had too much coconut, Pete.
The drink or the guy?
Yes.
Exactly.
You are too much for coconut feet.
So we cut to Jenny and Lars searching some of the guest rooms. Lars comments that he's been thinking about the message on the board, saying it seems familiar, but he can't wrap his fingers around it. Then Jenny holds up a dildo and says, can you wrap your fingers around this?
She was holding that dong way too long.
And you don't know where that dong has been.
Exactly.
Well, probably been in a vagina. I'm just
or Rolo's ass.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, we don't know what people are doing on this island.
Right.
But back to the bonfire, Penelope comes up to Juan and gives him a homemade hat. He puts it on and she asks him to go for a walk along the beach. He looks at the dark, desolate beach and he's like, no, it's the same beach here as it is over there.
There is water. There is sand.
And then she suddenly flips him on his back in the sand and climbs on top of him. She tells him how he was being naughty today, and he looks scared. She goes, when you were supposed to be in the maze, you were eating watermelon. He's like, how did you find about that? How did you find out about that? And she goes, I see everything. And she begins licking and kissing him. It's like, just a little creepy.
See, so, I'm wondering if, like, because there was an unrated version of this. I didn't see the unrated version. I'm wondering if there's an actual scene of him eating actual watermelon, too, that she saw. Like, it would just fit in a little bit better.
That would have been really funny.
Yeah.
But he tells her maybe it is a good idea to go down the beach a little further. And he's like, just the two of us. She smiles and agrees. As soon as she gets off of him, he goes running away saying, I forgot I'm supposed to make s'mores. He just leaves. So we cut to Jenny and Lars telling Hank that they checked everyone's rooms. No weapons, no nothing, just some porno and an ass load of condoms. And then Lars goes, and one guy had a wooden Bible. And Hank's like, that's interesting. That's it.
Doesn't go anywhere.
Right. It's like, why? I feel like they were fucking with us.
They were!
Hank tells Jenny to go talk to you and tells Lars to take over watching the crowd. Putman is looking through Dave's records, and he finds several Coconut Pete albums, including one, Spanish Fly Fisherman, that cracked me up. And it's signed. It says, Dave, so sorry about your parents. Wish I could have done more. Uncle Pete. Now, he finds a newspaper clipping with like in the record sleeve, and we don't see what it says just yet, but he looks at it with, like, you know, raised eyebrows. So it's something of interest. So we cut back to Jenny and Yu. Now they're arguing. Yu wants to tell the guests what's happening. Jenny reminds her what the board says, and Yu gets annoyed and storms off. She goes and rounds up some of the guests, telling them to come to the beach. They're going to make an announcement. She finds the dude bros from earlier, tells them to go to the beach, And she turns around and they're gone, and the Poncho Killer is there in place of them. She tells him to get to the beach for an announcement. He holds up his machete. She screams and runs. The killer follows. She runs right into Hank, who holds up a big stick and looks at the killer saying, "There's always one fuckhead like you trying to shit in the apple pie. Well, you just shat in the one apple pie that knows how to shit back."
Which doesn't make any sense.
I love how stupid the dialogue is, though. And Hank holds up his stick and goes, "So why don't you and me just..." And the killer swings his machete real quick, slashing Hank's throat, killing him. So you takes off running. The killer follows. She gets in a little golf cart, searches for the keys, drops them, fumbles, can't get them in the ignition. The whole time the killer's just coming closer and closer to her. She finally gets the keys in, starts up the golf cart, hits the pedal to the metal, and starts going. The killer slowly walks alongside the moving cart.
Which is amazing, because that thing was going crazy fast.
I thought that was a great visual gag, though. That was funny. And you just screams, and we cut away. The next day, we see the staff leading some guests in a weird crab dance and discussing what's happening. Jenny tells him that she heard one of the boats on the water last night, and Lars tells him that he thinks he's figured out what the message on the board was. He tells him it's from one of Coconut Pete's albums, Sea Shanties and Wet Panties. The song is called Naughty Cal. We cut to the group listening to the song. While listening, they both realize that, or they realize that Carlos and Cliff were killed in ways that matched the song. One of them got high as a kite and fell and broke his shell, so that was like Carlos. And then one got lost in a maze, so Cliff. So they try to interpret the rest of the song for clues. I love it because you get to a part where he's just going, la, 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 la. And Dave goes, "What if we play it backwards?" And it just goes, la, 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 la. And Dave looks like he's contemplating.
What does it mean?
Oh, that was great. So it ends talking about how everyone is looking for their own paradise, but it's not on Earth, it's in heaven, and one day we're all gonna die. So I was like, well, that sucks. And then Juan comes in, and we have this great moment of this, like, who's on first moment.
Well, wait, because it does mention about an octopus and a whale sitting on a
beach.
That's right.
How about that?
That does technically come back in.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out who's the octopus and all that, and who's the whale. But Juan comes in, and he tries to tell, he looks at Pete, and he goes, "You and Hank are dead."
I love this joke.
He's like, "Are you threatening me? What's going on?"
He's like, "No, you and Hank are fucking dead."
Doesn't he call him like a little hairless dog or something?
Yeah.
But Juan gets annoyed and tells him to follow him and leads him to the beach, where we see Hank's body in the sand with Yu's arms sticking up out from behind him. And carved in his chest is, "Don't let this be you."
Spelled how Yu's name is spelled.
Yes, why you. So we cut to the group putting on a fashion show because it's Fashion Show Wednesday.
Yep.
Pete tells them they need to just smile and do their damn jobs like the sign said. As the group goes out on stage one by one, behind the curtain, the others discuss what's going on. While Lars is on the stage, they point out that it all started when he showed up. Jenny defends him, but the rest think it's possible. Then Dave talks about the scary octopus from the song and points out Putman's hair, saying, "He's the scary octopus."
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. He is the scary octopus on the beach when it comes back around.
This is true. So Jenny tries to tell Dave to shut up, but Sam tells her they can't dismiss the song. He goes, "Look at Carlos and Cliff." He goes, "What about the fact that Hank was found buried in the sand like the treasure from the song?" And then he goes, "Octopus spelled backwards. That's Zapotco." And he goes, "Is that anything in Spanish, Juan?" He goes, "No, shoe is Zapatos." And he goes, shoe. The way he said that, like, contemplating what shoe meant, I was dying. I had to rewind it. Because he says it so seriously. He goes, shoe. And meanwhile, Dave is freaking out. He's like, "Am I the only one that thinks his head looks like an octopus?" Oh, man. So we cut to the group, like, trying to figure out, like, what to do. and Putman asks Jenny to go off and search with him. She looks nervous, so Lars tells Putman he'll go with him, and he refuses, telling him, if you're the killer, you'll snap my neck like a twig. So no one trusts anyone at this point. But we cut to Putman and Lars getting ready to go. So they got elected whether they liked it or not.
They were voluntold.
Exactly. Putman grabs a machete, and Lars tells him that he has all the weapons he needs right here and holds up his hand. He's like, fuck you, I'm taking a fucking machete.
No, he goes, machete.
Yeah, machete. Jenny wishes Lars luck and kisses him. Meanwhile, we see Putman giving Lars the evil eye. And then he gets in front of Jenny, like, waiting for his kiss. And she just shakes his hand. He looks pissed. And they head off down the beach. So, womp womp, poor Putman. We cut to Pete in the kitchen with two random staff members. And he's having a meltdown trying to get them to do all the cooking for the resort. He's like, I'm making my famous coconut Pete paella. He goes, can you guess what the secret ingredient is? And they just stare at him. He's like, coconut Pete's paella? Coconut paella? He's like, the one guy goes, coconut? And he's like, yeah, fucking coconut. And just freaks out and starts throwing coconuts around the kitchen. I was like, coconut in paella sounds fucking foul. Like, I love paella, and putting coconut in there sounds terrible.
I don't think I've ever had it. I honestly don't even know what it is.
It's a Spanish rice dish. There's different versions, but the most common one is a lot of seafood. So it's usually like, you know, shrimp and scallops and calamari and a bunch of stuff like that.
Okay. I know what it is then.
Yeah, it's got like chorizo and chicken and all that. It's awesome.
Well, like, calamari's coming up here in a second.
Yep.
But it's not calamari, and I got mad about it. It's octopus. I was like, calamari is not octopus, damn it.
It was penelope, though, so.
It was two separate things. But we pan out to Jenny and Juan watching in the kitchen, trying to figure out if Pete could be the killer. Suddenly, Penelope pops up behind them, scaring the shit out of them, and offers them some calamari. We see she's holding a big old plate of octopus, and like I said, that's not fucking calamari. So, she tells Juan it's an aphrodisiac and forces a tentacle in his mouth. The look on his face is fantastic. But she tells him when he's done there, come find her inside, because she wants to wrap her little tentacles around him. And she gives Jenny the stink eye and leaves. Juan horks up the octopus and watches her walk away. So he's like, do you think she could be the killer? And she's like, I don't know. She's a weird girl, but I don't know about the killer. And he's like, well, there's only one way to find out. So we cut to Juan and Penelope making out in her room. Juan looks over at the closet where we see Jenny, Sam, and Dave all inside holding various weapons, watching them. I love this because Dave is talking to Jenny saying, if you're the killer, maybe just don't kill me or at least make it quick, you know, painless. Dave's such a dumbass.
But he won't shut up either. So yep. Sam's got to like put a rave lollipop in his mouth. Is what I want to say.
He gives him a pacifier. Because Jenny tells Dave the whole reason they're hiding is because we think it might be Penelope. And Dave goes, oh. But then he begins talking about how much he likes Juan. And Sam just pulls a pacifier out of his pocket and shoves it in Dave's mouth.
Where was that pacifier before?
Oh, we don't want to know.
He's the fun police. He's got him on hand.
I think that's true. Okay.
I just wrote ecstasy jokes. This is firmly rooted in the early aughts. But Penelope cracks her neck and then her knuckles and tells Juan that she hasn't been entirely honest with him. He looks terrified. She shakes off her top and we see them titties. She then flips off the bed and does some kind of crazy flip handstand and rolls on top of Juan again.
I love this line though, that he his delivery is amazing.
Which part?
What are you, some crazy praying mantis woman?
Yeah. And then she reaches her hand under the blanket and he starts like snapping his fingers at the closet like she's about to kill me. And then she pulls out a photo of her as a gymnast.
Gymnast.
Yeah, he goes, wait, you're a gymnast? And she tells him that she spent her whole life in a gym and, you know, she just wanted to party like everybody else. And that's when he's like, wait, you're a gymnast? And he looks at the sky and he's like, oh, gracias. And they just start going at it.
Because they throw in another red herring here.
Oh, that's right.
She's talking about how her coach would kill her if she was there, and he would come and hunt her down and everybody who was around her.
Yep. I forgot about that. I forget. Wasn't it like some Russian name?
Yeah.
But yeah, he would kill her and or kill everyone around her. And while they're going at it, like, we cut to the group in the closet and we hear Juan yell, "No, no, no, Tushy." Oh, God. So, but
he's not into that.
Right. But he says that. But while that's being said, we see Dave still sucking on the pacifier, just starts rubbing up and down on Jenny. She shoves him off of her. So then we cut to Dave crawls out of the closet and he's trying to tag in. The others drag it back in the closet. We cut to Putman and Lars on the beach making a fire. Putman asks Lars what his intentions with Jenny are. Lars tries to tell Putman that he's like, if you love something, you need to let it go. And then he's like, it's a fucking Hallmark card. And gets all pissed at him. And he's like, well, I can't deny she's taken a fancy to you, but what kind of man would I be if I sat idly by and let you have her? I was like, Putman's getting creepy.
Yep.
So while he's saying this, he's unfolding this big plastic bag. Lars momentarily looks nervous, and then Putman puts the bag over his hair and tucks his dreads into it. He tells him, don't underestimate me, Lars. I know things you don't. So then he lays down in the sand to go to bed. And we see Putman pull out the newspaper article that he found at Dave's record. And we see the headline reads, sister and brother-in-law of Coconut Pete Wabash trampled to death at the Coconut Pete concert. Tragedy makes orphan out of Coconut Pete's own nephew. And we see a picture of Dave as a kid. So now we cut back to Sam and Dave going through Lars' stuff. They find the creepy shrine to Coconut Pete. Now, this was creepy. So Lars has this, like, collage of different Coconut Pete photos with everyone else that he's with has their head cut out and Lars's face is replaced. It's like the one where he's, like, hugging on the women looks really fucking creepy.
Yep.
With his, like, adoring face looking up at Coconut Pete. I was like, yeah, that's not spooky or nothing. So they're like, you know, it might be Lars. We cut to Putman waking up on the beach. The fire is going out and Lars is gone. He hears a noise behind him, turns and sees the killer walking toward him with his machete out. Putman runs for it. He gets tackled by the killer in the jungle, who tries to choke him. He pulls back the killer's hood and we see it's Dave. Suddenly, Dave is stabbed in the back and falls off of him. Standing over him is the killer. The killer removes his mask and it's Putman. Putman goes, you? And he goes, that's right, love. Now take that bag off your head and give us a kiss. Advantage Putman. And they start making out. Oh, man.
So many twists and turns.
Yep. This was their Darth Vader in the tree moment.
quick note. I remember when they re-released those, I went and saw them in the theater. To this day, can remember that scene coming up and some little kid going, there's two Darth Vaders, really loud. And everyone in the audience started cracking up.
But we pan out and we see Lars trying to wake up Putman, telling him he's having a dream. Putman wakes up, goes, and runs off into the jungle. His little yelp had me dying. We cut to the next morning. We see the guests playing a game on the beach while staff watches. Jenny sees a boat in the distance with Lars standing on it. He jumps in the water and swims ashore, telling them not to get too excited, and he holds up a broken propeller, saying the boat isn't going anywhere. Sam asks him where Putman is, and Lars looks surprised, saying he's not back yet. So, of course, they accuse him of being the killer. They tell him that he found his little shrine and that no one at the resort died last night because he was off killing Putman. Lars tries to explain that Putman freaked out and ran off into the jungle and that he could never hurt anyone. He touches people to make them feel good, not pain. And I love how Pete is in the background. He just drunkenly nods and points like, yep, that's yep.
Well, he just got done like pouring a 40 out into the ocean.
Frank. Yeah, on Hank's hat.
For his fallen homies.
And then Sam says he has an obligation to get to the bottom of this. Juan points out he's the fun police, not the actual police. Pete tells them all to calm down and have a drink, and the boat will arrive in the morning. So they all just have to make it one more night. And Sam tells him, I don't want to relax. He goes, I want to know what Lars' deal is. He goes, he shows up and everyone starts getting killed. And then Lars just flips shit. He goes, hey, I don't have to tell you anything fun, or I don't have to tell you shit, fun pig. You want to fun arrest me? You can get a fun fucking warrant. Until then, stay the fuck out of my fun fucking face. I love when he called him, I don't have to tell you shit, fun pig. That cracked me up. But we got to the group locking up Lars. Later that night, Jenny sees some guests in the pool.
In the drunk tank. Isn't that what they called the room?
Yeah, the drunk tank. And it had like this one tiny little window.
Yeah, which Chekhov's window.
Right. That's going to come into play. Sure.
Oh my God, that's so fucking dumb.
I will agree with you there. That is the one part about this movie that I'm like, okay. Everything else, you know, makes sense, but this is some magic bullshit here. Like, that annoyed me. But we see later that night, Jenny sees some guests by the pool and says, are you guys going to be around for a while? And they're like, oh, we're just getting started. So she smiles and dives into the water. While she's underwater, a naked guy runs by saying, free drinks to whoever catches me, and then runs off, and the entire crowd follows him. So when Jenny surfaces, she's alone. Someone jumps in the pool behind her. She spazzes out trying to get away from the person, but they catch up to her and yank her underwater.
Fucking Dirk the Dick.
Yep. She resurfaces, and there's Dirk. She flips out calling him an asshole. And he's like, I'm not an asshole. I'm just young, dumb, and full of. And then he reacts to something and goes, oh, shit, something's in the water. Something just brushed against my leg. And she starts freaking out. And he's like, seriously, there's something down here. She gets scared further, and he goes, oh, wait.
My giant cock.
That's just my gigantic cock.
Come on. You know, Sam Levine, it would just be like a tripod if it was.
Well, they always say it's the ones you don't expect. So.
Yeah, right.
So, oh, man. So after he says that, he laughs. Jenny looks past him and sees the killer standing at the edge of the pool holding a TV that's playing Amy's aerobics. Jenny freaks out and tells Dirk to get out of the pool. She quickly jumps out. The killer throws the TV in, frying Dirk. So, bye-bye, Dirk.
Dirk Diggler.
Oh, okay. I thought everything cut away. I was like, well, it got real quiet all of a sudden.
No, we had a moment of silence for Dirk the Dick.
We were very sad about Tripod Levine.
Tripod Levine. Oh, God. He'll forever be known as Tripod Levine. Every time I watch Inglourious Bastards, that's what I'm going to hear.
Freaks and Geeks will never be the same.
No, it will not.
Oh, dear.
So the power goes out when he fries Dirk the Dick, and the killer starts coming for Jenny. So she takes off running into the jungle. She runs right into Putman, who hugs him. And he gets super creepy and says, oh, you put your arms around me, Jenny. I can only assume this means that every other man on the island is dead. Jenny tells him, we got to get out of here. Dirk's dead. He was electrocuted in the pool. Putman continues with his creepy shtick and says, really? What was the look on his face? He must have screamed bloody murder. And she's like, you're scaring me. And he goes, I just want to know if smoke came out of his ears. Is that so wrong? So Putman's acting really fucking creepy. And Jenny backs up into Sam, and Putman goes back to acting normal again. Sam tells them that they need to get over to Pete's cabana and get the auxiliary generator up and running. Jenny points out that Dirk was just killed, so Lars couldn't be the killer. So they rush over to where Lars is locked up at the drunk tank, and they open the door and he's gone. We see the very tiny window is open, and they're like, he couldn't have. He's far too large. So they leave and go look
Jesus
for Pete.
Jesus Christ.
They arrive at Pete's cabana and go in. They call out for Pete, telling him they need the keys for the generator box. Suddenly, the door behind them begins to rattle. They slowly start to approach it, and we get a Juan jump scare where he just jumps out of the darkness and is like, isn't anyone going to get the fucking door? So they call out asking who's out there. No one answers. They slowly unlock the door. open it, and we see Dave's.
But I love this. He's like, hey, I think there's something going on with the lights.
And he's dancing around with his flashlight and headphones on. And he starts doing the, like, the glow stick ninja shit with his flashlight. Dave is funny. So they continue to look for the keys, and Sam comments that they need to keep an eye out for Lars. Jenny sticks up for Lars again, and Sam accuses her of being in cahoots with him. He points out that she had sex with Rollo, and he's dead. She had sex with Cliff, and he's dead. She says, give me a break. I screwed Juan and Pete, and those guys aren't dead. To which Putman pipes up, bloody hell, Jen, am I the only one? Like, really strong incel vibes off of Putman here. But Sam tries to get them back on task, and Juan tells him to drop the bullshit cop routine. So Sam calls out Juan for being an ex-con. Everyone starts grilling Juan, wanting to know what he did.
Oh my god, this is so fucking ridiculous.
No, it isn't!
we don't find out what happened just yet, because he backs away. He's basically, I didn't do anything, And he hits a desk chair, which starts spinning wildly, and we see a rope attached to the chair is, like, spinning it. And then a body smashes through the window, and this, I had to pause the movie because I could not stop laughing at Juan, because he just goes, ah, el chupacabra! I fucking lost my shit. The way he yelled it, oh my god, I was in tears.
I bet he did that on the fly, too. I bet that was not scripted.
Yeah, I'm sure it was ad-libbed.
I'm sure most of this movie was ad-libbed. Let's just...
There was another line I didn't mention earlier, but when they were discussing what they're going to do, Juan goes, what are we supposed to do when someone is killing the dick out of everyone on the island? There's a great blooper of that scene in the credits.
Which more horror movies need to have blooper reels in the credits? I'm just saying.
I totally agree. I wish almost every movie would do their blooper reels in the credits.
Could you imagine watching, like, Halloween and, like, the shape like, trips over and, like, knocks Donald Pleasance down? And he's like, hey, man, I'm real sorry, man. You okay?
That would be amazing.
They all just need to be Cannonball Run style. That's all.
I
Smokey and the Bandit style. I can't remember which one was which.
I think they did it with both.
Did they? Yeah.
Because I know because Cannonball Run, that was the one where Dom DeLuise did the superhero shtick, right?
Yeah, and he couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Like, one of the outtakes is, like, they absolutely could not stop laughing.
Yeah, that's because I vividly remember him doing the like bloopers in the costume. So, but I think they did do it on Smokey and the Bandits as well. Ah, those are good movies. But anyway, back to this one.
Back to
Coconut Pete's Pleasure Island.
Yes. They shine their lights on the corpse and see that it's Pete. And they accuse Juan of killing him. And, you know, he repeatedly tells him he didn't do this. He's not a killer. And then they're like, you're the only one that was in prison. And he goes, fine. You want to know what landed me in prison? He goes, I fucked a goat, or I had sex with a goat.
I grew up on a farm.
I got lonely. Oh, my God.
But he says he used a condom. Yeah. Right? And Jenny sparks up going, you said they were against your religion.
That's when he's like, I got to go find Penelope.
That part was funny. When she.
Yeah.
I thought he said it's against your religion.
Oh, my God. So Putman pipes up and goes, no, it wasn't Juan. It was Dave. And then he shows him the newspaper article like he cracked the case. Everyone's like, they already knew that Dave's parents died at a Coconut Pete concert. And they're like, way to bring up a sore subject, asshole. Putman just looks like, oh, shit. And he goes, but I'm sure you inherit the island with Pete being dead. And he tells him that he already had, like, the island was already signed over to him. That basically Pete was going to, he was going to go back out on tour and create a super group with, what was it, Eddie Money. Oh, I didn't write down the other guy.
Was it Rick Astley?
No, it wasn't. Shit.
Springfield? I can't remember.
I forget now. Oh, yeah. Billy Squire. Billy Squire. That's what it was.
Yes.
The only reason I remember Eddie Money is because he said something earlier about Eddie Money, too. He's like, do you think Eddie Money's got to put up with this shit?
Right. And that, yeah, and that Dave was like, Don Henley was going to play drums. It would have been so sweet. But yeah, he basically gushes about, you know, Coconut Pete being like, you guys all knew him as this. I forgot what he said, but like this, you know, rich resort owner, blah, blah, blah. He's like, to me, he was just Uncle Petey. He goes, did any of you know he was afraid of dogs? That he was uncircumcised and smelled of oranges? But apparently,
I love how they all just like graze right by it. Like, don't even mention it.
But apparently that was put in the script as a joke to see who was reading everything and not just their own lines. So that was in the trivia that they wrote that in, like, let's see who's actually reading this, and they played it straight. They just kept it in. Oh, so uncircumcised and smelled of oranges. But Dave goes on to tell him that he was going to sell the island for Navy testing, or test bombing, and that he convinced Pete that he could handle the responsibility as he pops several pills. He's saying this and popping a bunch of pills. And then Lars shows up and sees Pete and begins crying. Sam gives him the slow clap and tells him, oh, very convincing. Lars rushes him, wanting to fight. The group breaks it up, and Jenny tells him that they're going to go back to the club and wait it out till morning together. The boat will arrive in the morning, and they can all leave. So they agree, head off to the club. We get a slow-mo shot of them walking down the path toward the club, and it quickly falls apart as they start accusing each other again. And Sam's like, I'm not going anywhere with Lars. Putman goes, I'm not going anywhere with Juan. You know, who has sex with a goat? And he goes, hey, I used a condom. That's where we get the condom line. And he's like, I need to find Peanut Open. I was jumping ahead, so that's where he takes off. Sam tells Lars that if he comes anywhere near his cabana, he'll chop his head off. He then turns to Dave and says, let's get out of here, Dave. And Dave goes, I don't think so, and runs off giggling like a fucking lunatic.
Yep.
It's like,
and then okay. We find out that Dave's got a generator and he's got a rave going on in his cabana just for himself.
Yep.
But like this whole them like just going off was not provoked at all.
No.
Like, it literally was like, we need to stick together. And then 10 seconds later, I ain't going anywhere with you.
And I feel like that was the whole shtick was like, let's make it look like they're going to stick together and then immediately break them apart. But yeah, because Putman tells him, he's like, I'm still not sure what happened with all that dodgy business back in the jungle, but I'm plagued by the dreams. And he goes, I believe I'm safer on my own. He runs off. So no torches are left. They leave Jenny and Lars standing in total darkness. And then, yeah, this is where we get Dave going back to his cabana, turning on a generator and dancing around. So
not for long.
Yep. And then back to Lars and Jenny in Lars's room. He finds that his swords are missing and they have no weapons. So they hear music coming from nearby and realize the power is back on, so they go to check on Dave. They get to his cabana, and we hear Naughty Cal playing all wonky. They look around and find Dave's severed head on a turntable. Lars accidentally scares Jenny. She bumps a table, the record skips, and it just keeps playing We're All Gonna Die over and over again. So they head back to Jenny's room and see someone outside. They panic and try to lock the door, but the door is broken. So Lars tells Jenny to get under the bed. She looks at him and says, you'll never fit. Lars does some bizarre like chant and shrinks his gut and slides under the bed. It's like, all right.
And the way that it shrunk, it looked like in the movie Thinner.
Yeah. It was dumb. But she's like, yep. Why don't you do that all the time? And he's like, is that a fat joke? I was like, the hell was the point of that? So under the bed, Lars finds fuzzy handcuffs and a feather, and he just goes, what the hell, Jenny? And she just kind of smiles like, eh. And then a person wanders into the room and begins looking around. So they walk right up to the bed. Jenny quickly uses the handcuffs to cuff the leg to the bed. So they slide out from under the bed and find out that it's Putman. So they think he's the killer. He protests that it's not him, and we see the real reason that he was there was to steal some panties because Putman is a perv. So he was stealing Jenny's panties.
Ugh.
As he's locked up.
Were they clean, I wonder?
Oh, I doubt it.
They had all that aerobic sweat on them. Ugh.
That aerobics aroma?
Yep.
As he's locked up, we see the killer walking toward the room from outside, and they panic. Puppet tells him to get the keys, and they're like, we don't have any. He goes, you manacled me to my deathbed, you Piccadilly whore!
That's what I'm laughing about. I'm like, I don't think they were clean since he just called her a whore.
And then Puppet tells him to give him the balls and racket, and he begins heading tennis balls at the killer. And one finally hits him in the nuts, and it makes a clanging sound. And Putman goes, machete, Phil, I knew it. The killer hucks his machete at him, stabbing him. And Putman starts to slowly fall. And he tells him to run. And Lars goes, namaste. And he goes, fuck off. And just falls over. So Jenny and Lars hide in the shower. And we hear Putman say, ah, you. I should have known it was you. Doesn't surprise me one bit, really. I'm sure you think I'll go down without a fight, but it's not yet game set. And then we hear slicing sounds of Putman go, ah!
Bye, Putman.
Little groans. The killer comes in looking for Jen and Lars. We see that he sees the open window and then hears a noise outside and seems to think that they left. So suddenly we see the two of them in the shower, and we see a towel hanging over the rack. Suddenly the towel gets yanked off, and they both like quiet down and wait for the killer to pull the curtain back. Nothing happens. He walks away. So the killer, he threw the towel back over. Right. We think the killer is gone, and Lars was pointing at the curtain like, okay, and mouthing like, we got to go. And then this blood covered towel comes slapping over Lars's face. So the killer wiped up the blood afterward.
Hygiene is important to him.
Oh, Lord. So Jen holds Lars's hands until the killer leaves, and then they pull back the bloody towel, and he's like, soap now. So, covered in Putman's blood. I mean, Putman was a dirty panty sniffer, so he might have had something.
Ugh.
So we cut to the party at the club, and we see
Panic! At the discotheque.
I was like, wait, what? That startled me. Oh, but we see the two douchebags doing the booze luge, but instead of wine, it's blood. So he pours what he thinks is booze down the luge, and it turns out to be blood. So he flips out. Then they turn on the lights, and we see that the killer had strung up all the staff members he's killed over the dance floor. So the one douche screams, we're all going to die! And the guests just scatter. Which is funny, considering what happens in a few minutes.
Yep.
But Jenny and Lars find Penelope and ask where Juan is. She tells him that she hasn't seen him, but then she looks off camera. We pan over to Juan covered in blood, holding the machete. So, of course, they assume he's the killer, but he tells them he just found Putman. And just then, Jen sees Sam in one of the windows banging on the glass with bloody hands, and the group rushes off to help him. So they think he's being murdered. So they end up in a spa with three mud baths.
Poop bath.
Or poop baths. It could have been poop baths. We don't know.
That poop bath would have fit in perfectly last week.
This is true.
They are back in a Walmart bathroom.
Yes, they are. Oh, I still can never watch Saw the same way again.
Side note, the next day when that TikTok showed up of that guy going into the Walmart bathroom, I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta send this right away.
Oh, that's too good.
I know. Nobody knows what that means, but the people who do.
Yep.
Do-do.
They do.
Oh, so Lars checks the doo-doo baths, and he checks the first one while Juan is ready with the machete. There's nothing in it. And the second one, he looks nervous and pulls up what appears to be a dead Sam. He then grabs the machete from Juan and uses it to stab into the third tub. While that's happening, Sam jumps up from behind Lars, puts the machete to Lars's throat, telling him, "Nobody ever suspects the fun police." Juan goes, "Bullshit, I always have suspected you." And Sam goes, "Bullshit, you did not." And he goes, "You are the one who is bullshit." Oh, that back and forth was fantastic. And he goes, "He's the guy from the campfire story, Machete Phil, the kid with no dick." He goes, "No, that's just an old campfire story." He goes, "What do you piss out of your asshole?" He goes, "That's just a story. I have a dick."
Oh, this is man. So fucking dumb, this reveal. I'm literally like, I've been shaking my head a lot.
Well, this is where Sam tells him why he's doing what he's doing. And he tells them he remembers it like it was yesterday. He goes,
it was. I guess not.
He goes, "I asked Rolo if he had any grass. He told me he didn't, but then I followed him into the jungle and I saw him with a big old bag of grass. My grass. Smoking it with those two hussies."
He goes, which would have been great.
I know. And then he goes, "No, wait, that's not it." He goes, "I found out that Pete was giving the island to Dave. Oh, yeah, that's it. It wasn't about the grass, although that was incredibly uncool."
It would have been great if it just had been that grass part.
Oh, my God.
Like, this whole thing just triggered by that one little thing.
Because he took his pot. Yeah. Oh, man. But he tells him that Dave would have run this place into the ground, and that Pete always ignored what a great employee I was. So he then goes on to tell him that if he, or he got them to all do their jobs, didn't he? He goes, "Great managerial skills, don't you think?" Lars reaches over and grabs his arm, making him jizz. He tells them to all leave. He's like, he'll orgasm for a few more minutes, but it's going to be messy.
Oh.
So Juan, Jen, and Penelope take off back to the club, saying it's the most secure building because that's where we keep the booze. So some random douchebag picks up Penelope for plot reasons and runs off with her.
It is one of the two douchebags.
Yep.
That's who it is.
It's like, okay, so they were just screaming, "We're all going to die," but they're still all just running around by the club. Like, all right. So... Jenny tells Juan that, you know, she's safer with the others because he's after us. And then we see Sam kind of walking toward them, like all covered in mud. So they get into the club, they slam the door and they lock it. Suddenly, Jen sees Penelope in the hot tub in the back with Sam choking her out in it. So Juan grabs an axe, shatters the glass, saving Penelope, but letting Sam in. Sam gets up, grabs the axe, and begins coming at him. Suddenly, a machete pops through his gut, and he falls over. We see Lars standing behind him, and he goes, "The fun is done." I love that it's just making Susie groan repeatedly.
That's not a groan. That's a sigh.
I can
hear then he asks what happened to the hot tub. Like, how did he get in then?
Right.
It's like the only way he could get in.
He did his little magic skinny trick and slithered under the door. Oh, man. So they open the door, walk outside, and it's complete anarchy. The guests are just fucking everybody and everything and running around like lunatics. There's like the one naked dude on a tire swing just going, "Wee!"
The girl's dressed up as the pretzel getting fucked again.
Oh. Fantastic. That's the scene.
Dem titties galore, by the way. Dem titties galore.
Oh, yeah.
As I mentioned this, I believe it was on the Patreon episode, but this is the scene where I had paused it at work because someone came in to ask me a question. There's just like tits and craziness on the screen. And I'm like, ah, oh, damn it. So fun times. Thankfully, it was someone who thought it was funny. So wasn't a higher up or anything like that. So they look back and they see Sam is still coming for them. Once again, he's not dead. He's, you know, walking toward him holding the machete. So he yanked the machete out of his body and is still coming to kill him. So they run off into the jungle as the sun's starting to come up. They get to a cliff's edge. Juan tells them that it's okay. They can dive off the cliff into the water below. It's high tide.
But you have to keep your legs closed and clench your anus.
He goes, now this may be a little gross. He's like, but cross your legs and clench your butthole. Otherwise, water will shoot up and paralyze your intestines.
Pulverize.
pulverize. He goes, they hear Sam coming for them. So Penelope tells Juan she trusts him and dives off the cliff. And then the rest jump in the water one by one. Now, Lara.
I love when Jenny comes up because she goes, oh, my asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we see when Lars goes underwater, we see the one boat sunk. So, you know, the one boat was out in the water with a broken propeller. The other one was destroyed and underwater. So he pops up. He tells Juan about the boat down there and he asks if he can get the propeller off of it so they can put it on the other boat. So Juan, you know, is like, you know, I can do that. He jumps down or he goes underwater. And while that's happening, the other starts swimming to the other boat.
Swimmity cricket.
So they're swimming off to the boat and we see somebody else jump in the water behind them. So Sam is right on their heels. So they get back to the boat. Juan pops up, gives him the propeller, and Penelope notices he's bleeding and he tells her, you should see the other hombre. And then Lars grabs the propeller, says, I'll attach it, jumps into the water. They go to pull Juan up and there's a huge slash across his gut. So he falls back in the water, clearly dying. He tells him that it's okay. He can't imagine a more beautiful way to go.
Unless they kissed.
Yeah, he goes, he looks at Penelope and he goes, I just wonder if I could maybe have one kiss. And she leans in to kiss him. And he's like, no. I mean, maybe you and Yanny could kiss. I always wanted to see that. And then he sinks under the water and dies.
In the 2 days that you've known him.
Right.
He's always wanted to see that.
And he never does.
Nope. And so then Sam jumps up out of the water and begins attacking the girls. Lars jumps up on the boat, attacks Sam. They fight. Lars gets a rope around Sam and boots him out of the boat. They turn on the boat and start driving ahead while, you know, pulling Sam, or they go to pull the rope that's attached to Sam. He attaches it to the dock. So it kind of pins them where they can't go any further. So Lars starts cutting the wheel. So they'll spin around and wrap the rope around Sam. So pins Sam to the dock. It's getting tighter and tighter. You know, it looks like it basically suffocates him. So Lars is like, okay, we got to get, we got to get the rope free. They go in nice and slow, and then suddenly Sam tries to get him again, so they continue to pull the rope until it cuts him in half.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Come on, the killer never dies. Come on, guys, you know these rules. They're
and
coming
he's
up
still
next
not
week.
He's still not dead yet.
Right. So they cut the rope, and they start riding away.
And then the torso jumps up and attacks Penelope a la Jason at the end of part one.
And I love it because Lars just goes, oh, come on. He grabs Sam's torso, spins him around, and hucks him into the water.
Yeah, this is the point where I said this is fucking stupid.
I was actually
annoyed at this part.
Why? It happens in so many other horror movies. Come
right.
on.
It is physically impossible.
Right. That's why it's funny.
Yes. No, it's not. It was stupid.
I agree with Maurice.
Well, I'm glad I have someone backing me up this time
around. I'm like, how many times has Michael Myers been killed? Nope, right. Still comes back.
Michael Myers.
He he's on a half fucking torso.
No, but he was shot in the eyes and blown up, and he came back with a little bit of char on him.
And then Sam's legs are swimming toward the boat.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Look, because after they throw him in the water, Lars makes a comment about how they're going to kick me out of the pacifist club. And she goes, or calmly asked you to leave. Jenny pokes Lars in the heaven point and makes him jizz. He then honks her nose and makes her come. And he looks at Penelope and goes, let's go, Penelope. And she drives the boat off into the sunset. And we see Sam's legs chasing them as they sail away.
Leaving everybody on the island, though.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, nobody in charge on the island now.
they were all fucking each other. No one cares.
Yeah.
So the end, credits roll, blooper reel. Not a whole lot of trivia, honestly. And we already mentioned most of it, like how Jimmy Buffett did some of the songs and the whole where Penelope came from. But yeah, it's I personally really like this movie. I know two of you did not, but I thought it was fun.
I think they secretly did, and they're trying to play it off. They're like, no, we can't let anybody know that we love this movie.
We're too cool for Club Dread.
Yeah, that's a no, dog.
Oh, man. It's just you and me, Don. Nobody else likes it.
I know the real truth. I know the real truth.
Oh, lordy, lordy. So does anyone have any comments other than groans?
Ugh.
I have lots of comments. They're not necessarily about this movie, but I have lots of real quick. Yes, Susie. Yes. Jonah Hill was in Grandma's Boy and does mention something about sucking on a boob for 9 hours.
Yes.
He was just in extreme fat mode. That's when he was like really, really fat. I got nothing. Like I said, this is like my favorite of their movies. No one ever mentions the Slammin' Salmon. No one ever mentions that one because no one's seen it.
I was going to say, I've never seen that one.
I've never seen that one either.
But yeah, this one's my favorite. And yeah, like this is the best Bill Paxton ever. Come on.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Yes. They had a show, I don't even know if it's still on, but they had a show on, I think, FX, mm-hmm. where they were all firefighters. This is like a year or two ago.
Tacoma FD, it's still on. It actually, the third season premiered this week. It's on True TV.
True TV, okay.
Yes. It's only the two of them. It's only Steve Lemmy and Kevin Heverman. The other ones pop in, but like they're not really part of the cast.
They're not regs.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
So it's just Juan and Lars.
I'm say honestly, they're two of my favorites anyway, so. But if no one has any comments other than, you know, not liking it, I guess we'll start wrapping this one up. But so for those of you not following us on social media, we are the Boogeyman's Closet on both Facebook and Instagram. Maurice handles our Twitter. What is that, good sir?
At Boogeyman's The.
Thank you very much. We're still doing our giveaways, and this month is a doozy. So if you haven't checked it out yet, you still got some time. Definitely get in there. There's a Scream wreath that I hate giving up because I think it's so damn cool.
Oh, my God. I just remembered why there's no Club Dread thing in there. I forgot to tell the story real quick.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
Yes. So in the prize pack, there's an identity thing from the movie theater. And then I had something from Saw that I gave for the prize pack. There was nothing for Club Dread because there was this awesome standee that we had. That I remember building, and it was a wheel. You would spin it, and of course, like, see who dies, blah, blah, blah. And it had, like, all the characters on there, and then, like, one dead body floating upside down on it. They had lent it, actually, I believe it was to Margaritaville, for, like, some promotional thing. And it got stolen from Margaritaville.
Oh, my God.
Stole it. And that was supposed to be my standee. And I would have put like, I probably would have donated part of it to this thing. So there's no Club Dread thing.
Yeah.
For that reason. Because someone stole it. It was an awesome standee.
How dreadful.
It was. I remember building it wrong too. And I had to fix it. So that's what I'm.
Man, some of them standees were rough. Like I remember, I know we're kind of off on a tangent here, but back when I worked at Media Play, when episode one came out for Star Wars, they sent us the 3D standee battle droid and pit droid, but they didn't send us the instructions. Mm-mm. So, and we had to get this up and ready for like, you know, the freaking Midnight Madness Star Wars thing. So they're like, here, Mike, you put it together. So I'm trying to figure out how to put these damn things together with no instructions. And it wasn't like a regular standee where it's just like, oh, this is easy. Just slot these things together. No, it was like fucking origami. Like, it was crazy because it was all 3D and jointed. It was, but yeah, I put those together and then the manager took them. I'm like, you dick. I did all the work. I wanted to take that pit droid home. But anyway. definitely check out the social media for the contest. October is going to be awesome as well because it is, you know, our horror holiday. We will have two prize packs. I got a lot of stuff that I'm putting in for that. So definitely check it out. Definitely check it out. There's some goodies. If you guys aren't following us on Patreon, we do have one of those. It's the Boogeyman's Closet on Patreon. $3 a month will get you all of our audio content, including one special episode that's only on Patreon per month. We may be able to do more as we have a... Well, actually, by the time this airs, you will have heard another special. There's going to be one being posted very soon.
I did not know that. So this being delayed on my behalf is okay.
Yeah, I told you we were good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry again.
We got you covered. But definitely check that out if you're interested in more. And we do have artwork and other fun giveaways for the higher level tiers. Right now, I'm finishing up this month's print. And there may be something special coming in October as a surprise as well. So good time to check it out if you're not a patron. But Dawn, as always, thank you for joining us for our month of Who Dawn It.
I know. It's totally by accident, but, you know.
Guys,
who knows? Maybe I'll be back on the next one, too.
But see, and that, I think it's funny because you and I had discussed prior to this month starting, we were like, if Club Dread happens, like, you, of course, are going to be on it. And then you mentioned, like, yeah, you know, maybe identity, maybe. So it was kind of like all just like maybes.
It was just a joke. Yeah, like I wasn't really meaning to be on.
But then it was like, hey, do you want to join for identity? Yeah, sure. Why not? But it was like, you want to jump in on Saw too?
Yeah, why not? Why not? So who knows? Maybe I'll be right back.
Dun, dun, dun. So for those of you that don't know what we're talking about yet, our next episode, episode 112, the final one for the month of Whodunit, is Scream from 1996. I cannot wait to cover this. This is one of my favorite slasher movies. I know there's a lot of mixed feelings on this one, but I'll spoil it here. I love that movie. But guys.
We know.
What's that?
We know.
You shush you.
Yeah. Maybe I will show up and I'll tell you exactly what I think.
Uh-oh. You're gonna piss on my parade, ain't you?
Maybe.
But all right, guys, so as always, this is Mike saying goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Pinot Noir.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, follow us on Instagram at The Boogeyman's Closet, where you can stay up to date with everything we have planned.